Welcome, and thank you so much for joining us. I'm Sandra Ladd, and I'm the senior minister for First Christian Church Stillwater. We are growing a Christ-centered, compassionate church where all can connect to God's love. And we hope that in this time you experience growth. We pray that this time will help you focus and center on Christ, and that in this time you will sense care and compassion. We pray that this time provide you with a deeper connection to the love of God. Grace and peace be with you. And again, we thank you so much for gifting us with your time.
Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of Man may be glorified through it." Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then, after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble because they see the light of this world. But those who walk at night stumble because the light is not in them." After saying this, he told them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will be all right." Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him."
Let's pray. God, may the meditations of my heart and the words of my mouth be acceptable in your sight. May your word accomplish its purpose in this place today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is such a rich story full of amazing truth, bridging what we have heard in John up to this point with what is yet to come. Situated after the Good Shepherd passages that we read on Ash Wednesday, and just before Jesus' anointing and final entry into Jerusalem, the story is pivotal to the plot of John's gospel, and it lifts up the central themes of the gospel, or the good news. Lord, if you had been there. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus were three adult siblings from Bethany, and they are friends and followers of Jesus. So often we hear stories about the disciples, but it was so refreshing to me to hear a story about the friends of Jesus. Apparently, he was frequently a guest in their home when he visited Jerusalem, and yet Jesus' response to their situation seems unlike what you would expect of a caring friend, especially if that friend is Jesus. Though Jesus loved Martha, her sister, and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Jesus expresses confidence that Lazarus' illness would not lead to death, but rather to the glory of God. And yet, by the time Jesus finally gets to Bethany, Lazarus is already dead and buried. As confused as Mary and Martha must have been by Jesus' delayed response, the disciples may have thought they understood, Their remarks indicate that they were well aware of the danger that threatened him in Jerusalem. In fact, his proposal that they should return to Judea was not welcomed with enthusiasm. They remembered the previous conflicts with the rulers, and they feared for Jesus and possibly their own lives as well. They assumed that Jesus' delay was an attempt to avoid that conflict, and I couldn't help but wonder how often I too think I understand the motives, the intents, and the actions of Jesus, only to be totally off track and mistaken. Jesus' counter-objection to the disciples is difficult to interpret, and many commentators say that it was possibly a current proverb. Jesus was always thinking about his obligation to perform the work of the Father, the work that the Father had committed him to accomplish. He determined to return to Jerusalem in spite of the danger, but he also determined to pause before doing so. Every action of Jesus was intentional and perfectly timed to fulfill God's purpose. Jesus refers to walking in the darkness or being out of God's will, and walking in the light or being in close fellowship with him. Jesus paused when God led him to pause and moved when God led him or told him to move. Oh, to be so connected to the will of God and confident in every single move. I'm just not there yet, but man, my heart longs to be. In this story, the disciples display loyalty as they reveal their willingness to listen and to move back into the area of danger if that's what Jesus desires. Thomas may have doubted later in another story, one yet to come, but here he's willing to lay down his life. Says more about us that we label him doubting Thomas instead of faithful Thomas, and I'm afraid we make that mistake way too often, labeling people by their failures instead of recognizing their successes and acknowledging that life is in fact a mix of both in everyone's life. Hear now the second portion of Scripture, verses 17 through 27.
When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been there, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, Son of God, and the one coming into the world."
Many of us, unfortunately, can relate to the heartbreaking cries of Mary and Martha. Notice that they greet Jesus separately, but with identical words. "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Two humans who are completely opposite in personality and action, and yet a powerful indication that we all feel pain in similar ways. Notice I did not say respond to pain. Their responses are very different. One comes immediately, is loud and almost demanding. The other doesn't come until she's called and comes in a quiet and reserved manner, but their feelings, which they are able to articulate in Scripture, are identical. It's noteworthy that Jesus does not rebuke Martha or Mary or their friends for what they say to Martha. He responds instead with a promise: "Your brother will rise again." And notice that Martha's disappointed that Jesus didn't respond to the first news of Lazarus's illness, but that does not lead her to break relationship with him. In spite of her hurt and heartache, she remains confident in her faith. Doesn't mean she understands. She doesn't. And Scripture makes that clear. And so Jesus' words are intent to clarify. And one of the most majestic and comforting statements recorded in Scripture, Jesus says that he has the power to bring the dead back to life. The one who believes in Christ has eternal life that conquers physical death. Those who live and believe will never die, but will make an instant transition from the old life to the new life. And he concludes by asking her directly, Martha, do you believe? I had to answer that question for myself again this week, and most of us will answer that question not once, but multiple times throughout our journey. 2 weeks ago, I left worship and I went to visit with a young man in final stages of life following the diagnosis of a brain tumor. It was a heartbreaking visit. There are just really no words adequate to bring comfort to a family that is sitting in that situation, but I know that presence is important at those times. I offered comfort the best way that I knew how, and as always, I'm not sure how much ministry I was able to do. I left feeling like I was the one who had in fact been ministered to, and that's a sermon for another Sunday. I asked him how he would like me to pray, and I prayed for those things. Peaceful and a pain-free passing. Yet God did not answer that request, at least not in the way that I had hoped. He suffered way longer than we had hoped, and it was much harder than the family had expected. That does not negate my belief that he has now entered into eternity, healed and whole. See, God didn't do things the way that I expected or had hoped for, but it will not take away from my heart and my soul the fact that God did answer that prayer in the way that God knew was best. I cling to the promise and stake all I know on those words that Jesus offered. Death has been defeated. Those who live and believe will never die, but will transition from the old life to a new life where pain, suffering, and sorrow no longer exist. And just like Martha, I do not understand. But just like Martha, I believe. The question God has gathered you into this place for today is, do you believe this? Hear now Scripture from verses 28 through 37.
When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her were also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him?" But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?"
When Mary appears, crushed with sorrow, accompanied by other mourners, Jesus was moved with deep emotion. And his feeling is expressed by these words, deeply moved, troubled, and wept. And I wonder if Jesus was expressing his resentment against the ravages of death that had entered the human world because of sin. It brings me comfort to think that death troubled Jesus as much as it troubles me, even though he knew He had power over death. He knew we did it. And he loves us enough to mourn along with us. The second word expresses agitation. Jesus was not apathetic or unnerved by the prevailing mood of sorrow. Lazarus was his beloved friend. And Jesus shared the common feeling of grief over his death. Jesus' display of human emotion should bring us comfort as we experience our own emotions accompanying grief, shock, anger, denial, bargaining, depression, guilt, and acceptance. Jesus understands. He expressed his emotions and recorded it, documented it in Scripture to give us the freedom to express our emotions freely. Hear now the last portion of Scripture, 38 through 44.
Then Jesus again, greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, there already is a stench because he has been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you had believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and his feet bound with strips of cloth and his face wrapped in cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go."
Jesus does more than share in the pain and the sorrow of his friends. He also acts. When they come to the tomb, he says, "Take away the stone." And Martha's alarmed. Even though she has earlier boldly professed to Jesus when he arrived, "Even now I know that God will give you what you ask of him." She's not so confident now that Jesus knows what he's doing. Does Jesus really understand about death? Lord, he's already, there's a stench. He's been buried for 4 days. Jesus is undaunted by the stench of death. The stone is taken away, and after repeating his promises that this would all lead to the glory of God and praying out loud for the benefit of the crowd, Jesus cries, "Lazarus, come out." And Lazarus does. Can you even conjure up or imagine that in your mind? Because this scene connects with earlier statements of Jesus' promise that the hour is coming when all who are in the grave will hear his voice and will come out, and that the shepherd calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. I had to pause and close my eyes and hear those words about the people that have passed that I know and care about. "Jim, lad, come out of the grave and enter into the sheepfold. Lauren Miller, stand up, come out of the grave and enter into the sheepfold. Sue Baker, come out of the grave and enter into the sheepfold." That's Jesus' promise to those of us that sit in this room, not only for those that we have in our hearts, but for all who have gone before us. May we consider this to be not only an amazing miracle, but a reminder to us who sit here today that the resurrection of Lazarus that we hear today, it's a physical story of resurrection intended to display God's glory and power of God and the power of God. Lazarus would die a later death, then he would receive spiritual resurrection eternally. And that's the true miracle. That's the miracle that God wants us to receive today into our hearts, into our souls. That's the purpose of this story, the visual that would reveal the glory of God. That's the one that we don't see, but we will believe by faith. Jesus has been slow in coming, and now it seems like it's just too late. But with Jesus, it is never too late. Even when we are convinced that all is lost, even when we are ready to concede to the power of death, Jesus' demonstration that there is no loss, no tragedy, no power in heaven or on earth or under earth that can place us beyond the reach of his infinite love and his abundant life. John tells us that many of the Jews who had come with Mary saw what Jesus did and they believed in him. But some went to the Pharisees and told them what he had done. As the story continues, we learn that so many Jews were coming to believe in Jesus because of the raising of Lazarus that the chief priests and Pharisees were getting nervous, worried about the reaction of the Roman officials to the attention drawn to Jesus. From that day, they began plotting to put Jesus to death. While the disciples were wrong about Jesus' motives in waiting, they were right that Jesus' return to bring Lazarus back to life leads directly to his own death in Jerusalem. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep, but the good shepherd lays down his life in order to take it up again. The resurrection of Lazarus points us to Jesus, and the tomb won't be able to hold Jesus any more than it could hold Lazarus. Most of the time, it does not feel like death has been defeated. Just like Mary and Martha, we cry out in pain and we ask our own agonizing questions about our own deaths. The end of a marriage, health interrupted by chronic illness, the hope of peace squashed by the threat of war, violence, job loss, financial struggles, wayward children, addictions. Wherever death casts a shadow over our lives, we wait in hope. And like Mary and Martha, we learn that God does not act exactly when or how or where we think God should act, but God will act in God's perfect time, and death will not have its final word. The climactic final I am statement in John: I am the resurrection and the life. Our question today is, do we believe? Amen.